A deadline over a possible government shutdown looms as immigration becomes entwined in budget talks. We sat down with immigration attorney Claire Hannis to talk about the latest developments now that the Trump administration is playing hardball with immigrants from Haiti, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Honduras. They were granted temporary immigration status and could now face deportation.
I don't have statistics on numbers of Central Americans or Haitians in the islands. I don't think anyone really does. It's not a large number, but I know I have definitely had clients who had temporary protective status from El Salvador and Nicaragua especially, and other attorneys have as well. So it's definitely had an impact on individuals within our community. I do know one Haitian client I'm working with, he does not have TPS, but I felt that I needed to reach out to him after the president's comments a couple of days ago and just reassure him that that the comments that were made about the country that he comes from are not at all reflective of the majority of people in Hawaii or in the United States.
And so a lot of these folks from these countries are kind of in limbo because they've gotten the indication from the president that they're not going to be allowed to stay here, that the status that they have is temporary, and they should take steps to prepare to go back to their homes.
Right. So you're referring to temporary protective status, which is available. The government can extend temporary protective status to individuals from different countries following a natural disaster or civil war, recognizing that the countries that they come from are in some kind of severe crisis, and it's not really fair or just to send them back. TPS was initially granted for people from El Salvador in 2002 following the earthquake. But people who know El Salvador, and I've been there quite a few times, understand that the country cannot really absorb the 200,000 individuals who are here. And moreover, those people now, many who have been here for 15 years, are not just single individuals. They have, many of them have U.S. citizen spouses. They have children who were born in the United States. But if they had entered the country without inspection, there's still no pathway for them to gain legal residency, even though they might have a U.S. citizen spouse or child. So it's this is the group of people that would have benefited under a comprehensive immigration plan that would have recognized that there are lots and lots of people who are in the United States unauthorized but have been here a long time with equity. And there really is overwhelming support for comprehensive immigration reform that would benefit these Haitians and Nicaraguans and Salvadorans. But because of the gridlock in government, nothing's been able to get through. So dates have been set when these people need to leave. There will be challenges, and we'll just have to follow and see what happens.
Now, here in Hawaii, we have a long history of immigration. Given our history with the sugar plantations, and that industry is gone now, but we, the community, are a product of that immigration. We had talked about program that allows people to petition to have their family, the chain. Can you talk about that system?
Sure. So, U.S. Immigration policy for many, many years has been based on primarily family-based immigration, which basically means that if you are a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident, there are certain members of your family who you can file a petition for, which is basically, requests that person be allowed to come to the United States as, first of all, a permanent resident, and then eventually the person can apply for citizenship. And there's a number, depending on your status and the status of the person, the relationship of the person that you're looking to bring, there are different categories. So, for example, I think this is really important for people to understand because I've heard, even among lawmakers, a lot of misinformation about people say, well, you shouldn't be able to bring a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle. And nobody can petition a grandparent or an aunt or uncle. The categories, and if people want more information on this, just Google Visa Bulletin. And it's really, really interesting. You can see the breakdown of the different categories and the different the different lengths of wait for people in those different categories. So, for example, a U.S. citizen, such as myself, if I had a foreign-born spouse, minor child, so child under 21, or parent, I can file a petition for that person as an immediate relative, and there's no line that they need to wait in. You still have to wait for the petition to be approved, which can be 6 months or so, and then you have to often wait for consular processing, which is another 6 months. So nothing goes fast, but that's the fastest way in. Now, U.S. citizens can also sponsor adult children and brothers and sisters. And this is a group where, especially from the Philippines, where we have a large Filipino population in Hawaii, and many people came because a parent or a brother or sister filed a petition for them. But for Filipinos, for example, the wait for a sibling is back to, they're currently processing petitions that were filed in September of 1994. So it's a 23-year wait. And oftentimes, if you talk to Filipinos, you'll hear stories about having to wait a very long time. And that's why there are certain numbers attributed to certain countries. And if the country is kind of oversubscribed, if there are more applications than numbers, then you get in, you know, you just kind of, you take your place in line. But you still have the ability, you have the hope. And of course, family reunification is, you know, families being together is a really good thing. And especially if your family, and again, it's not as though any of these countries are near to us in Hawaii. So it's very expensive for people to travel and see families. And so the opportunities for families to be together here, to settle here, to help take care of each other, for me, I think is a really great thing. Many of the people coming using family-based immigration are coming from countries like China, India, Mexico, the Philippines, countries where the majority population is not Caucasian. And I think there really is a racist element in the argument right now against family-based immigration. And the Republicans aren't even calling it family-based. They're saying chain-based. So it's kind of taking the whole human element out of it. One other point about that is that permanent residents or green card holders can only file for their spouses, minor children, and their adult unmarried children. And the wait in those categories is quite long. So and people are very carefully vetted. There are background checks. Everyone has to go through an interview overseas. So so the process is long. Under the current administration is supporting this RAISE Act, which was proposed by a number of Republican senators. And the RAISE Act would completely eliminate all the categories for lawful permanent residents, right? So, and it would also eliminate the opportunity for U.S. citizens to sponsor their parents to come as green card holders to the United States. So that's huge changes.
We heard heartbreaking stories of a lot of veterans, Filipinos, who fought with the U.S. For America during the war. And, you know, they were doing this, on their own, and they're still waiting for family members to come over to be reunited with them.
Right.
Some have died.
Right.
That is
true. And I know Senator Hirono, that's an area that she has really championed. And there is a mechanism to bring some of those family members a little faster now. But it's still a very long and expensive program. Expensive meaning that the application fees, the filing fees, are in some cases cost prohibitive for families. So it's not only time consuming, but it's very expensive for people to come.
And the president's plan for immigration, will it affect the veterans' quest for reunification? Do you know?
To the best of my knowledge, no. I'm not. So I believe no, but that's something, again, all of these things are kind of moving pieces and we'll have to see. The proposal is to eliminate a lot of these family-based categories for what they're calling a merit-based system. So it would cut off the foreclose the opportunity for many of these family members to reunite with family members who have settled here and really prioritize people who have high incomes, high levels of education, and high level of English knowledge.
Right. And all this is caught up with the budget. and making sure that we have enough money to keep the government operating, you know, so alongside with the, you know, the talk of the immigration and the wall and DACA.
Right, right. And these are all you know, issues such as family-based immigration and DACA. They're all kind of being used as pawns in the budget negotiations right now. And this is a really big week because Friday will be the deadline for deciding whether, you know, the government has enough money to continue or whether it shuts down. And a lot of people are saying that, well, you know, without funding for the wall or without protection for the DACA recipients who are in limbo, then they're not going to vote for a spending bill. And DACA, I mean, something good happened with DACA late last week, and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services over the weekend updated their website to reflect that DACA recipients can still continue to apply for DACA renewals. So that's based on a federal court decision that came down on Friday. But I just heard in a national advocacy call that I was on this morning that the federal government, that the Department of Justice is looking to petition the Supreme Court very quickly to seek to reverse that decision. So if anyone's listening right now and you have DACA and your DACA has expired or is about ready to expire, get that renewal in right away.
Right. Things are changing every day very fast.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else you'd like to stress to listeners you think is important? I don't know what you're telling people who may call you who are scared and worried about what lies ahead.
Yeah, well, for people who don't have legal immigration status but have the opportunity to get that, I think, you know, now's the time to definitely reach out to an immigration attorney. Or Catholic Charities provides free legal services. Immigrant Justice Center at Legal Aid has some assistance available. This is the time to get advice because really the discretionary provisions that under the Obama administration that prioritize certain people for deportation and removal, all of those discretionary all that discretionary language is gone. So it's basically open season on anyone who does not have legal status right now. And for some people, there are some things that can be done. And so if you're one of those people or unsure, definitely reach out to someone for some good advice.
Really, whether it's your church who can provide advice and connect you with these services.
Right, and a lot of churches are stepping forward. Locally, we have Harris United Methodist Church, which has taken a very proactive stance towards the negative impacts of the Trump administration, and is even prepared to offer sanctuary for people. There's a sanctuary network that's being formed right now, so that people who need to report into ICE can have someone accompany them and also get legal advice as well. So okay, there are resources in the community out there, and no one should feel like they're all alone.
Right. So the bottom line, help is there. You just have to ask.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine.
Claire Hannis is an immigration attorney and the founder of the law firm Aloha Immigration. Negotiations for a permanent fix to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, broke down last week when President Trump rejected a bipartisan proposal from U.S. senators. As that debate continues, the deadline for averting a government shutdown arrives tomorrow. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz.